Hey everyone, welcome. This is We Watch Stuff number 142. I am Jeremy. Joining me is Shahid, as always. See, change it up. Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, nothing much. Just dealing with this current Moongate right now. A funny thing about Ramadan, since it's set on not a set date, but lunar sightings, it's not always set on what day it is, but normally people can agree what day it is. Not this year. Because some places are starting today and some places are starting tomorrow. I figure it's 2018. We could have figured this out by now, but you know, what do I know?
How old is Islam?
Very old.
Okay.
About at least like 1,000 years. A couple thousand years, something like that. So it's been around.
Well, if you want to take a hint from your Christian brethren, it may not be when it happens. Just pick a date. And just go with it. I mean, you know, Christmas was in July or June, one of the two. And hey, they celebrated in December. So
yeah,
Christmas trees don't look as cool in the summer.
So. See, that's the thing. We try to be traditional. It's a better worse. It's kind of like, and I made the joke yesterday, like, you know, you got Saudi sheikhs dating Rihanna. We don't have a satellite to figure out where the moon is. Like, people still looking out their window. Not even with binoculars, with their eyes like, nah, I ain't see the moon past the cheesesteak. Like, this year is like the first year actually in like a long time when it's been like an issue. Because normally it's kind of like everyone picks a day, and for the most part we do the same day. And this one, like, first people thought it was gonna be Tuesday, and then people thought it was gonna be today, and then it was like, okay, we hadn't seen it, so it's gonna start Thursday. And then people in California like, well, we saw the moon, so we start on Wednesday. And now it's like, we got cell phones now. Like, we got the internet. What's going on? Like, it's just this whole, matter of fact, I have family members, some are fasting starting today. Like, I actually started yesterday to get like a heads up, but I'm fasting today. And most of my family members, I think, are starting tomorrow.
So they have Christian scientists. I don't know if, like, I'm supposed to take it easy on you today, but... So there's Christian scientists, which is kind of funny. Do they have Muslim scientists? Their categorization in life?
Considering that there's this thing called Arabic numerals and that Muslims invented algebra, yes, I think they do have, like, Muslim scientists running around.
So one of those guys or gals didn't just speak up and be like, hey, this is when it's going to be?
You think that solves anything?
That's true.
It's a Christian scientist that... You know, discovered that the Earth wasn't the center of the center of the galaxy, and he got excommunicated.
That's true. Yeah, good call. Good call. We've kind of come a long way.
Yeah, so it's kind of like it's, and people, I saw some sort of technology, like some people use like infrared telescopes to, some people get real in depth to like figure it out, because people ask like the whole science thing, and then other people are like, nah, I'm going old school. I'm like, we not riding around on camels living in caves anymore. You know, you can kind of like Islam teaches that you can modernize. But it's a funny thing, but it's like, yeah, so Ramadan is starting, and I think people are not in a rush to start it, considering like the sun here doesn't go down until like 8:20, and today's supposed to be like 94 degrees outside.
Yeah, we got nailed with that crap over the weekend. That was not enjoyable. Speaking of Ramadan, right before we get off that, all right, so you know how I told you, you know, the best thing you can do is not read the comments on a post? So I had one of these, WWE actually had their superstars wishing everybody happy Ramadan, which
it's the first time I remember them doing that.
Yeah, and I also just thought, this is like, and I understand it's like a, you were talking about, it's like just a force of will. You know, that sort of thing. It's not like Christmas where it's like, yay, we're getting presents. I mean, you can't eat or drink from sun up to sundown. I don't really know if I want someone saying, hey, happy Ramadan, you know?
It's fine. It's the thought that counts.
Oh, well. So, going back to the comments thing.
Oh, boy.
Don't read the comments on the Facebook post. This is not an exaggeration. I saw it this morning, and it was like Cesaro, wow, this is going to be great. Cesaro and Sheamus, Finn Balor, Drew Gulak was in there. And then I went, 275 comments underneath a video. And I'm telling myself, don't read them.
You couldn't help yourself.
I couldn't help myself. It took me 10 minutes. I finally gave in and read them. Really, there wasn't a whole lot of what you would expect. You know, like, just, you know, Islam's the religion of murder, that's, you know, that sort of stuff, and Obama's a commie or whatever, you know, that sort of stuff. So I was pleasantly surprised by that. One thing, and this is the only thing I wanted to ask you about. They were saying that this had no place on WWE's Facebook page. Now, I was just like, well, I guess. I mean,
they wish Merry Christmas, and like they have Muslims like in WWE, including their internet darling, right? Sami Zayn, their internet darling. Yeah, uh-huh. And they did just get thrown a whole boatload of money from Saudi Arabia, so it's kind of like, that's why this come out like this year out of all year, that's a good reason. It's kind of like, yeah, you know, we're going to do business with like the most influential Muslim country on the planet. It doesn't hurt us to say Happy Ramadan. Yeah, that's the mistake you made reading the comments on. No, because one time I did it by when WWE posted something about Nia Jax challenging Ronda Rousey for the title, and I didn't even look at the comments because it was on Twitter, and I was about to click off, and then the first comment I said was like, I saw, was like, who she beat, LOL. And now, like, you know what, I don't even need to read. Like, if it's going to be like that, I just kept it moving. And that's the type of, it's something about internet comments, and it doesn't matter what it is, message board or something like that, it's just so, it's a few that's like decent and thought provoking and like that, you might learn something. Most of them are just toxic as hell. Mm-hmm. It's like, so I don't even, at this point I really bother, because even if you try to find like a diamond in the rough, you gotta dig through a whole bunch of garbage to find it.
And speaking of that, this is another Facebook, this is actually from The Torch. And I wasn't prepared to talk about this, so I cannot give the authors due credit, so I apologize. Our buddy Cam, of course, got himself involved in this. Let's see if I can find it real quick. It was the article, the guest editorial, about Hulk Hogan.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because he's been talking about this for quite a while, and he's been doing God's work. You know, I've told him it's kind of like you're rolling a boulder uphill. But he still wants to. I'm not going to tell him to stop doing it. I like, if we're still talking about this July 4th, then I'm going to smack him in the head. But keep fighting a good fight. Okay. But continue.
Okay, so I found the editorial. His name is Shelton Lee, is the person who wrote this. I don't know who it is. That's not like Cam's.
No, like, uh-uh. Okay. He's
just an instigator. Okay. So would Cam qualify as one of those people?
As far as what?
Being, you know, like someone posts something online and you just got to put your 2 cents into it, or...
No, I mean, because, you know, he's been getting beat over the head, and I feel the same way. I just haven't talked. I said my two pieces kept it moving, and I had a friend like that. It's the fact, not that... It started when people were talking about bringing, you know, Hulk Hogan might come to WWE, yeah, and we're like, he didn't really apologize to hell with Hulk Hogan. It's come from all the people defending Hulk Hogan, saying, well, ain't that bad, and all like that. Imagine, like we won't go into what he said, but what he said was horrible, and it wasn't like some spur-of-the-moment thing or a slip of the tongue, like, and it ain't the first time he said that. And imagine everybody, you know... I know it might have made you feel a certain way as a human being, but I miss Hulk Hogan coming out, tearing his shirt off, and talking for 15 minutes. So I care more about that than you. But not saying that they want to say everything like, you know, let bygones be bygones, and what's the big deal, and stop race baiting, like basically gaslighting you, saying like you're the problem. I'd be pissed too. And we haven't talked about this whole Hulk Hogan thing because it never came up in conversation. Yeah, if I never see Hulk Hogan on WWE TV again, I won't lose any sleep. To hell with him. And I have no tolerance whatsoever with people trying to, like, you know, defend it and brush it under the rug and all this stuff. And a lot of people say, oh, well, what about Ultimate Warrior? And Cam was like, well, the hell with him too. I'm like, yeah, if exactly. that's your, yeah, but if like, if that's your go-to is like other people's done worse, then you don't really have a leg to stand on. Like Hulk Hogan is trash. You know, he brought a lot of great memories. You know, I grew up watching Hulk Hogan like a lot of people in our age group and everything like that. But I haven't watched a Hulk Hogan match in I can't remember how long. I never searched for his matches on the WWE Network. So what's this whole, like, why do you miss, one, why do people miss Hulk Hogan? Like, Hulk Hogan not going to come back to wrestle? Like, what is he going to come back to do? Run his mouth? Like, what's this whole I need Hulk Hogan back thing?
Okay, one part, and this is the only part that I would be, that I'm agreeable to bring it back. They just expunged him from history, basically. And I'm not, I mean, obviously, you know, he's a dick. He's always been that way, which is yes. just very funny. Like, even when that thing came out, first thing I told you was Bobby Heenan was right.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, I mean, this sort of thing, I don't know if any of us really expected. But expunging him from history, like even the videos, but I don't know where the line is with this. Like, he is, I know you can argue Austin, you know, there's the argument made for both, but he's the biggest star in history. He's really got to be credited for the company being the way it is, mm-hmm. and they've kind of just forgotten about him, or not forgotten about him, but just got rid of him. Rightfully so. Yeah, I mean, do you want that guy associated like all over your product? No.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't mind the whole, if they want to bring him back on the network and everything like that, fine. Because yeah. like, you can watch Chris Benoit matches on WWE Network, and he murdered people, and you can watch Jimmy Snuka matches on the network too, and he allegedly murdered somebody too. That's fine. I don't need to see him on current WWE. Right. I don't need to see him on Raw, SmackDown, or pay per view ever again. That's my thing. Like, if you want to bring his matches back, his old DVDs, cool, whatever. Bringing him back in the fold, like, everything's cool? Nah, and that's all. That's what we're saying. It's like, we're not saying, like, you know, erase him from history. Ain't no point in bringing him back. The hell? For what? Yeah, like, no, seriously. And then and then all these fans, like, making excuses. It amazes me how people will defend the honor of a stranger they never met and don't know because they brought them all this joy. Like, back in the, and it's not even they bringing them joy now. It's like, he brought me joy when I was a kid. You know what? I enjoyed the Cosby Show too, but I don't give a rat's ass about Bill Cosby right now, and that doesn't ruin my childhood because Bill Cosby doesn't have a damn time machine. I never got this whole idea like, oh, we can't do this and we gotta let it slide. No, they say that because he didn't say it about them, you know. So it's easy for people to say, oh, well, you know, well, I don't understand what you went through, but personally, it doesn't bother me that much. So we should bring Hulk Hogan back. It's easy for you to say he ain't treat you like you subhuman, so it's easy to have that attitude. As a black wrestling fan who already has to deal with all the crap that wrestling pushes on us since I've been a wrestling fan, now I'm at the age, no, I don't have any tolerance for whatsoever. Because this wasn't this whole, he grew up in a certain era. He said this, like, he didn't say this in, like, the 70s, mm-hmm. even though it's wrong. Then he didn't say this in the 80s. He said this when everybody knew it was wrong. So that you can't even use that excuse. Like, you could use, like, a Ric Flair promo from, like, 83 when he was basically sounding racist as hell, talking about, like, a black Atlanta fans. Like, you know, it's wrong, but it matched the times. Like, that you can see. This, nah. It wasn't some accident. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a slip of the tongue. He said what he said because he felt comfortable enough to say that. The hell with Hulk Hogan? Deal with it. You got your money from that Gawker, you know, lawsuit. You don't need money anymore. You still gonna be famous. Maybe he feels a certain way because, you know, Ric Flair's in the limelight doing rap videos and in pop culture and had that ESPN 30 for 30 thing. And it's like, you know, maybe he's jealous of that. But go enjoy your money and rubbing on your daughter's behind with suntan lotion and get out my face, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, there's not much to add. It was funny as you were talking, not doing that. I understand what you're doing. Jesus. Going through the comments, I was going through them again, and it's like the comments on that, like calling torch social justice and this and this. And now listen, I, full disclosure, I haven't worked there before. I don't, there's no love. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But this isn't a social justice piece either, and it's a free editorial, which I thought was cool. So if you can, go ahead and check it out. I read the article, so I'm going to keep calling it because I'm old. I read it a certain way. I read it as if I was editing the piece or writing it myself. The only thing I didn't like about it, and this is where you're just going to be like, ugh, is he kind of goes in and out of stuff instead of sticking to one point. Going from like this point to this point to this point, it wasn't fluid enough. So there's that. Anyways, I don't disagree with what he's saying. I totally get it. I'm just the comments in that people are trying to use like this. He said this in private. I was like, well, you know what? I've got black friends. I've never talked about one of them that way.
Yeah,
you know,
like
it's not like if I don't have a camera. I don't have a camera in here. Cool. We know Shahid. I mean, no, that. And I know he wasn't talking about friends, but he was talking about someone his daughter is dating. And it's like, you don't get, I don't leave my morality or my ethics at the door to go out into the world. And yeah, then when I come back in, I'm like, woo, faggot, and just yell it real loud.
I mean, yeah, just, exactly. How do you think the Rock feels? Like, even if Hogan don't have a whole bunch of black friends, he's worked with black people. Like, how do you think they took, imagine you're a black wrestler that probably looked up to Hulk Hogan because Hulk Hogan was the man and you're watching that and then you hear that.
Yeah.
And then people saying like, oh, don't worry about it. Like, nah, I'm gonna feel a certain way. Like, I'm a coworker. He feel that way about me. Like, to hell with him. He can go somewhere. And I don't hear this, oh, well, you don't know how he replays. No, we know quite clear how Hulk Hogan feels about black people because he said it.
Yeah.
It's this whole thing. It's kind of like, you know, you don't have to read between the lines in this one. He was very explicit and quite clear, and he was not subtle whatsoever. Like, he only messed with black people if they rich. Otherwise, he don't want to deal with them at all. Or definitely have him around, you know, we can't have Brooke around those type of people or anything like that. That's my job. That's the only part that he left out, this whole, and this is always this possessive thing, like, you know, that's my property. I don't want them around those type of people, even though I've made, how much money he probably made from that WrestleMania match with The Rock. And basically that match right there basically got him back in the limelight one last time, and he got a damn title run out of it, and who knows how much money. And he like, oh, well, you know, if I can't do business, the hell with him. Like, okay, that's how you feel, to fine. I don't want to see you again. Go be racist in Tampa with Brutus Beefcake and leave me alone. Keep, you know, be off my TV. And WWE can't be this whole, we're 21st century now, we're more inclusive, we're more diverse. Like, you already dealing with that fallout where, you know, you put your women's revolution morals to the side because Saudi Arabia threw you a boatload of cash. And it's like, yeah, that's not a good look right now. Like, you trying to clean up your image and be more public and feed off the good publicity, you don't need Hulk Hogan. You doing fine without him. Let that be.
And it also goes that you don't need to bring old wrestlers back. I mean, you can't, all right, say they're going to bring Hulk Hogan back. What do you do? An ambassador? Are you out of your mind? Do you remember his first public appearance? Like, if you send him out to a trip, I don't know, it couldn't be a press conference where people can ask him questions, he'll get murdered. I mean, the entire thing would be derailed. So, like, WrestleMania, was it 34 this year? The next year, excuse me? They can't send him out to New York to be, like, a face of it. Mm-hmm. It's going to derail the whole thing. McMahon's not going to be happy about that.
Because the media is going to pick up on it. Like, oh, yeah. Somebody's going to say that.
So, I don't see any viable option for him. I mean, maybe in corp, you know what? Maybe in corporate settings, that would be fine. Because, you know, they're the most scrupulous people you can meet. So they're not going to give a shit as long as they get money. But no, I don't want him back, one, because the obvious. Two, because we don't need old wrestlers anymore. They're having a hard enough time getting the guys over that they have and getting them time, for that matter. So, no. And then two, no, I don't want Hulk Hogan back. Fuck that guy. If he's, and I'm being dead serious on this, I can forgive, sort of forget, someone who does something when they're in their teens, late, early 20s, something like that. Because you're not an adult for a while. And depending, like we've talked about before, if you're not around other people, you don't know what other people are like. you get your views depending on what you read, what you see, what your parents, the people you're hanging out with are saying. Everything gets developed that way, so that when you finally go and meet somebody else, you've already got this picture of them. Well, once you hang around or once you start learning on your own, you change. This was a 60-year-old dude screaming out the N-word after he had sex, too, which I brought up the first time. He just got laid, and he's doing this.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, unless the sex was really that bad, I don't know, maybe he blamed a pork sandwich he ate beforehand. Oh. Yeah, like, I don't want to hear this whole, well, you know, it was a spur of the moment. No, it wasn't. And, yeah, like, he said it multiple times. It's funny where how people treat racism, like, even when it's in front of your face, like, directly in front of your face, but no ambiguity, no subtleness, no, you know, maybe I'm not sure. Even when it's like smack dab in your face, people are like, I don't know. It's like, y'all really like Hulk Hogan like that, huh?
And the overwhelming majority of comments on there, yes. Overwhelming majority of comments on the Facebook post are they want Hulk Hogan back.
For what?
Because he's the man.
Oh, let him be the man in his house. Like,
I know, man.
My whole thing is like, for what? What's he going to do? Unless he's going to come out there and Bronson is going to put him through a table, and we never see Hulk Hogan again for the rest of our lives. Yeah.
Oh, Hulk. Dude.
Yeah, I'd see that. Like, you want to turn Braun Strowman heel? Yeah, Hulk Hogan come out, and Braun just puts him out the pasture, or he gets jumped by, like, the New Day, something like that. Like, no.
And Titus Worldwide joins in. Yeah. Who else am I forgetting?
Yeah, like, why
Cedric
would I,
Alexander.
Like, exactly. Like, I don't want to see Hulk Hogan on WWE TV. Even if he hadn't upset this, I wouldn't be in a rush to see Hulk Hogan anymore, because it's like, like you said, they don't need to do this whole bring this old wrestler thing in. He doesn't need to do that anymore. Like, be old somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't bring in the value. He's not going to have one last match. He's not going to be a manager. Like, it's a whole generation of fans now that, like, oh, who's Hulk Hogan? Like, I know the name Hulk Hogan, but I'm way past, you know, Rocky III Hulk Hogan. I'm even way past NWO Hulk Hogan, and I'm past Mr. America Hulk Hogan. Like, that was, what, 2003, 2004? Talking about 14, like, 14 years ago.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that was when he was old then. So it's probably, you know, you wearing a John Cena shirt, eating New Day pancakes, what Hulk Hogan going to do for you?
Mm-hmm. Or now screaming for Braun, you know, and you see this old man. God, that's such a good idea. It's just such a good idea, but, you know, I mean, obviously he has to sign off on it, so it would never happen, but God, what a great idea that'd be. Just, I don't know, black, minority, in this case, black wrestlers would probably be the best ones, but it'd still be really funny. Just Andrade Cien Almas for no reason whatsoever is out there. I mean, I'm going to gander, just a little guess here, that if he's a speaking ill of African Americans, that he's probably speaking ill of Mexicans too.
I'm sure he's
just gonna go off.
I'm sure he says something derogatory about Eddie Guerrero once or twice in his life that Mean Gene didn't ask him about. So I would not be that surprised. Yeah, it's like, you know, this Hulk Hogan mess. It's just. It's funny, we hadn't talked about it, and I never talked about it with Kevin because it never really came up, but it's something that I've been talking about with my friends for the longest, because the fact that people keep defending him is like, even when Cam's doing the best he can to try to explain why it's an issue, and he's like, oh, no, I like the leg drop. And I get annoyed at him, like, why are you wasting your time with these mongoloids? Mm-hmm. Like, it's fans like that that's turning me off to wrestling. Like, this is like the first week where I didn't watch Raw. I watched one match of SmackDown, and I feel like I missed anything. And it was part of me was like, the worst kind of part of me is like, it's not even the product. Like, I don't have an issue so much with WWE. I have an issue with, like, the internet fans concerning WWE. Like, I just need to, it's just ruin it for me. Like, shut up. Like, I'm really at that point where I'm just tired of hearing all that noise about these people that they, it's just toxic. I like too many things, and we talk about too many things online where we can't talk about with other people because it's so damn toxic. So we got to talk to each other about it because we're grown and we know how to interact with people outside of a computer screen. And we like comics, we like comic movies, we like wrestling. It's like almost all the stuff I like, those message boards feel the same type of doofus, and it's just taxing.
Yeah. So let's get off that then. I mean, since we solved the problems, just stay off of message boards. But it's not even message boards. I mean, you got Facebook, Twitter. You see me. It's my results, or I just like saying a quip here and there, like a sniper come in, say one thing, and take off. Mm-hmm. like Kevin. Did you see Kevin's? Or I'm sorry, the Stunt Granny account posting about the AIW guys. Melissa drink more, except for them. And I'm like, let's slow down. I love Melissa. She couldn't handle her shit. That's why she was sick all day Sunday. Oh, that poor thing. She flew all the way to New Orleans and couldn't leave her hotel room all Sunday. Anyways, did you happen to catch the beginning of the Flash?
I have not. I heard about it and I read about the reviews, so I probably won't even be able to watch it till either after we do the show or more than likely tomorrow because I have tomorrow off. Okay. But I heard about what happened and how
pretty
they
cool,
and,
man. It
yeah,
very it. I wish the rest of the show would be taken as seriously as this opening like 10 minutes was. I mean, it felt like I was watching like Daredevil, some of that. It's all the beginning is just one shot of DeVoe doing some really cool stuff. I mean, he's a bad guy, but how it's filmed, shot, and looked, just great. Then you got the rest of the episode. So
I mean, it's a funny thing where people complain about, you know, can we get a non-speedster villain? And I think the problem with the Flash is he's so powerful. It's hard to find a villain that's like that can stand up to him. Even you can make him as dumb. You can still make the Flash dumb, but it's like at the end of the day, he's still the Flash. And you're doing what 20 something episodes? Like it's just, I don't know. It's kind of like they lost what made the show special, and I think it's just kind of like the biggest issue is it doesn't know. It can't be Grimm because Arrow does it better than that, and Legends does the funny stuff better than Flash does now, and Black Lightning does the family stuff better than Flash does now. Yep. Where it's kind of, I think the biggest issue is that the things that used to do well, it doesn't do as well, and you have other shows that do their stuff better than the Flash does. Like even like, and I remember you talking to me about how you were saying how the CW shows you're ready for them to end. I think the biggest issue is like the two best ones are already over. You know, Black Lightning and Legends are already done, so it's like the ones that we enjoyed the most are already gone, and Supergirl's been fine. Arrow's finally like improving a little bit, and like Flash, it's just a mess.
Yeah, it's time for the season to be done. Just wait till you see this episode. The beginning starts off like, oh, cool, all right, and then it just gets to the same dumb stuff they've been doing. Unfortunately, the same dumb stuff they've been doing. So, are you caught up on Supergirl?
I am on this week's episode. Okay. I just started watching. So last part I watched was when Lena sprayed Rain with the kryptonite mace, okay, which did have me laugh because it's like no one's ever. It's like I've never seen that before until that. I'm like, I'm surprised Batman doesn't have that in his utility belt.
Well, he kind of. Well, no, it was an inhaler, really.
Yeah,
from the movie. But what else was there? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You are up to date for the season.
Yeah,
the season finale.
Yeah,
now
not series, because that was actually surprising where people were under the impression that this year would be his last season. Like the only reason they came back is because Disney mandated they keep it, and now they're getting another season, even though it's shorter episodes. And 13. They're also bringing out, yeah, good, because yes, you don't need a whole bunch. I'd rather have 13 with more, you know, with more money per episode than have half of them in like a warehouse. And also, it's coming out in the summertime instead of the wintertime, like after Avengers 2 drops.
Yes, so they can avoid. Well, they kind of handled it. They did handle it pretty well. Because
yeah,
the aliens are like, oh, Thanos is down there? Peace out. And just take off. I thought that was great.
And I'm glad they actually did that, because one of the biggest complaints people and we've always made is kind of like all this stuff is happening and they pretend like it doesn't happen in the TV shows. And I know I've heard excuses for and against. And this one, they didn't say like, oh, you know, it's something going on in New York. They're like, yeah, Thanos is coming. Like, they came straight out and said that. Like, he's here doing stuff. And I'm thinking part of the reason why they're waiting to the summer to bring it is like it can happen after whatever happens with Avengers 2.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like you can avoid that whole thing. Because imagine if it came out early, it's like, okay, so Thanos snapped his finger, half the people gone, so Agent Steel starts, and it's like three people. like half the team just vanished, and you just got to, what, find new team members and work that out? Yeah, so that's a good way of avoiding that.
Yep. And it also, it gives Clark Gregg some extra time, because he's going to be in the Captain Marvel movie, which I know they're shooting now, but... Mm-hmm. I would think this is also... Nah, they probably wouldn't start for a little while, the new season yet, because they just found out they're renewed, so I wouldn't
think probably wouldn't be. Probably wouldn't be till like winter time.
Yeah, and I...
Like fall or winter.
Yeah, and I hope that they get out of the bunkers and the spaceships and this, because that's been a drag on this season. And like, my dad watches it, and he goes... He's just thinking, like, this isn't fun. I'm like, yeah, it... They did take away a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, not fun.
Money.
Well, money for sure. But by doing that, though, it took away a lot of, like, the ambition, too. Because, I mean, it was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They were a worldwide organization, and all we've been dealing with lately is them sitting in the old-ass bunker with Putty is the guy doing the... the voice of it, of the simulation.
And not only that, it's kind of, I think it's a two-part thing. It was following last season where they were like all over the world, and like you had the Ghost Rider stuff, you had all this magic, like it felt like very ambitious, but you know, controlled ambition. And this one felt like, oh, we spent all the, I think a part of it was like Inhumans probably took away a lot of the damn money. Ugh, and hopefully
that's
and canceled. Hopefully thing, yeah, surprise, surprise. Hopefully that not being a thing, they can use some of that money on S.H.I.E.L.D., because it's kind of like, yeah, the less said about that, the better. So I'm glad it's getting another, I'm surprised it's getting another season. I'm glad it's getting another one. I laugh watching the last season. It's kind of like the whole main coaster thing. They've been flirting and stuff for like 5 years, and they have their first kiss during a fight.
That was a pretty badass way of doing it, though, man. Although I am sitting there going, why aren't they just aiming at their legs? But whatever. I mean,
yeah. And I'm looking at him like, really? Like, you know, like this is odd, and like, you know, a great time to. It was a badass scene. It was just out of nowhere, because it just came out of nowhere, and then they did the slow mo, and the look she had, like she's looking at them, and then she's like, oh, let me end this fight, because they busy, you know, super lips or whatever, hot lips is busy, forgetting about the damn fight. So, season finale is like this week.
Pretty awesome cliffhanger too.
Yeah.
You either save Coulson.
And
that's where
different.
I thought, I mean, I don't know what happens next week, but that's where I thought, I mean, in a sad way, that's a perfect way to round this show out. Coulson dies in Avengers, comes back because of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ends, and Coulson goes back to being dead again.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a sad way of ending, but it's kind of fitting.
They said they filmed a way where the season finale could be a series finale, if necessary, because they weren't sure when they did if they were getting another season. So I'm curious to see how they play that, because it's like, I wasn't expecting them to get another season. I know Gotham is getting one more season.
Another truncated season, too.
And then they're done, and I guess it's probably like, you know, we're going to finally get Batman, which they've been leading to this past season. So it's funny when they did that show, it's like, you know, how you gonna do a Batman show without Batman? We never thought we'd see him, and that show may end up with him actually being Batman. Cobra Kai is getting a second season, not surprising considering like how well I've seen a lot of people talk about that show. So I'm wondering like how many people have YouTube read, or how many people just get a touring and stuff like that, because I have it not for the shows, just because I like watching videos without ads, and I can watch them in the background on my phone without having the app open. So that's the main reason I got it. So that was just a bonus.
Yeah, I've downloaded an app that allows you to watch stuff that you don't own. So that's actually next. Once, because S.H.I.E.L.D.'s done, Arrow's done Thursday. That's two shows off my plate, which is just fine with me.
Flash is done next week.
Yep, and that's it, right? Because
the Supergirl, the Supergirl's left.
That goes till June. I mean, I know we said it before, but that honestly feels like a show that should be over.
It's something I was the more and more I read about it, and the more like I watch this one, they changed some stuff because it looked like they just truncated that whole Legion of Superheroes thing, and like we gotta, you know, we were gonna do more, and something happened so that like them wrapping it up, and it's kind of like it's something I don't know if we'll ever know. But I can tell watching the last few episodes and then hearing about how they had this long-ass break that wasn't necessarily planned, that something happened behind the scenes and they just decided to, like, you know, we're going to change the story.
And boy, did they. Because now we've got Jimmy, like, next week, next week's episode is all about him getting a secret identity revealed. And I'm going, wait a second. What are we doing here? Like, why would that's what you call filler, man. I mean,
yeah, like his job in care of being a reporter doesn't mean anything because Calista Flockhart is not there anymore. That's the problem. It's like her secret identity meant more because she had her to play off, her not being there because they moved to Vancouver and she's like, I ain't moved to Vancouver. It's like to do all this. It's kind of like, yeah, that's. It's kind of like they need to find stuff for him to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest thing. It's like, you know, he's going to be Lena's boyfriend. He's going to be Wynn's buddy. He's going to be, you know, a second-rate superhero. And it's like, I mean, I don't blame him. It's just kind of like, ugh. It's just hard when you had a role and the role changes because of budget concerns and, like, storyline changes. But you're still there, and they don't know what to do with you.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's the thing, like, making Jimmy Guardian was kind of stupid because, I mean, he was an established character anyways, so you didn't really need to have him all the time. Well, now you've got Jimmy being Guardian, but he's not Guardian all the time, and now he's going out on DEO missions, and it's like, wait. And
why? You got all these trained, you got these people, like, how long Alex been trained to do that job? I can see when, like, working in the office because he's smart to do that job, but when ain't on the field doing that because, like, yeah. Oh, well, I saw you ran around with a shield, so you could be on a mission. What?
Are you saying I was Superman? I mean, he's rescuing your ass all the time.
Yeah, like, that's not how it works. Like, Vicki Vale ain't riding around with Batman. Because she took pictures once. Like, that's head ass. Like, what? I know. Who would allow, like, yeah, I'm wondering, like, DO hiring practices. Like, how's that working? Okay, you're part of the team now. Like, that's some stuff. Even Fast and Furious, you got to earn your chops where you roll with Dominic Gang. Like, he ain't just letting anybody ride with him. So, yeah.
Well, it's been a while. Well, God, I don't want to get off subject, but I'm going to forget. Have you seen the commercials for the Universal ride, the Fast and the Furious?
I think I only seen it once.
Boy, that looks like a letdown. You sit in a little car, and it's a movie screen. And I'm like, you know, you got this giant franchise, and that's all you are, in a caged vehicle?
Yeah, like,
stuff swimming around you? Nah.
It's not a chintzy franchise. Like, it's a billion-dollar franchise. I don't get that. Like, at least do a roller coaster or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Like I say, it's a lot of people in charge that don't – they make money by accident, it seems.
Yeah, because it's – Here's something I don't know if the people realize it. As much as we love it, Fast and Furious is not highbrow. So you can just make it a roller coaster. Well, you know, people would be expecting that.
Good.
What are you talking about? Just make it good.
People don't go to Five Guys to get fish sandwiches.
Hey, Batman's going to eventually win, right? I mean, what are we doing?
Oh, we're going to give him something different, anything. Ugh. Yeah, it's just amazing something. Oh, before we go on some other shows, so on one of my days off, I had time. I was watching the Rocky movies.
Yes, I saw your tweet.
Man, it must have been a long time since I watched Rocky 1. Rocky was a borderline rapist.
I have not seen it in a long time, and that's what I've heard.
I haven't seen it in a long time either. So I think that's the one out of all of them I watched the least. And I like it's a real very good movie. That movie does not age. Like, that movie takes a long time for stuff to happen. And I'm watching Rocky interact with Adrian, and I'm like, this is horrible. Like, he basically he bullied her in a date. He bullied her, his way into her apartment. She's like, I don't feel comfortable with you here. I've never had mail. Let me come up, Adrian. None of that. Let me do this.
Oh, wow.
Can I get a kiss? Would a kiss be so bad? And like, he basically bullied her into having sex. It's basically how it goes. Like, you know, all the stuff we talk about now, it's like, oh, you know, why don't you let me inside? I don't want to be so. She's like, no, she's, I don't know. I don't think this is a good idea. I don't know you that well. This is like our first date. And he's like, he will not take no for an answer. And I'm just watching this, and I'm sitting here, and I'm like, yeah, the 70s were a different. We talked about before, the 70s were a different time. Because if this came out now, people will be, it reminded me of Passengers with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. And now people point out, like, yeah, they play off like a love story, even though he's a creep. He basically waked her up and doomed her to die because he was lonely.
Yeah, I still have not seen that. I think based off of your recommendation about that.
It's kind of like, if they had played as like a horror movie or like a horror thriller, it'd been better because it'd been more honest. But no, I'm watching Rocky, and then it's like, yeah, this movie racist.
Wow.
And I hadn't noticed that because Apollo Creed shows up and Rocky's at the bar, and the guy's like, oh, we need real champions who used to fight back in the day, not this jit clown right here. And I'm like, what? And Rocky's Rocky's like, hey, wait a second. Like, that's the champion of the world, and he's the best fighter, anything like that. Like, he worked his way to get there. What have you done with yourself? And I'm like, Rocky sounds like me talking about people on Twitter. And I just started laughing because he basically said, like, you know, Apollo Creed made himself to be the heaviest champion in the world. You sitting here at this shitty ass bar, like, who are you to talk about Apollo Creed? And the dude's like, oh, I'm just speaking my opinion. This is just making a living. And Rocky's just rolling his eyes and everything like that. And yeah, Paulie's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Paulie is so damn like, the more you watch the movies, I'm like, Rocky would have murdered him, or Rocky would have got his mob boss to murder him. And one more thing about Rocky, I know people talk about, like, this is a story, this underdog that worked hard and made his way up. No, that is not the story of Rocky. Rocky is a story of, like, a lazy athlete who finally works hard and realizes potential, because it's, like, there's no way in the world Rocky would be hanging these guys if he won a super athlete. And the more the movies go on, he getting in better shape. And you trying to tell me he weighed like 190 pounds. He's knocking out people that weigh 50 pounds more than him. And who was his accountant?
That was one of the funnier ones you had. I think it was Rocky 2.
Yeah.
He bought a house on 10% interest.
He made $150,000 for the fight, which is equivalent to like $700,000 now, which seems low, but it's like Rocky wasn't a contender anyway, so whatever. And he got $37,000 after taxes. What tax bracket is that? Yeah, $37,000. Because his mob boss, I'm like, yeah, how much you clear after the fight, Rock? Because they mentioned, like, you know, he got paid $150,000 for the first fight. And Rocky, too, they asked, like, how much you bring home after the fight. He's like, about $37,000. And dude's like, yeah, you know, taxes, they a bitch. What tax? That's like an 80% tax rate. Like, where do they live? France? Like, I'm watching this. And he got $37,000. He buys a brand new Firebird, even though he can't drive. He buys a brand new house with that horrible ass interest rate. He's getting Adrian like watches and fur coats, and he's retired. He's like, I'm gonna make my money doing commercials. And Adrian's like, we can't afford this. Like, shouldn't you, like, why are you buying yourself? He's like, oh, don't worry about it, Adrian. I'm gonna enjoy life and make the money. And within 2 months, he's selling the car to Paulie. Adrian has to work back at the pet shop again. And Rocky's got to fight Apollo Creed, even though he's damn near blind in one eye. And I'm like, when people are always talking about athletes and money issues, yeah, it started way before NBA players in the 90s. Like, Rocky was dumb as hell with money. And I know the joke about Rocky V is like he lost all his money, and I forgot how. So apparently when he was training in Russia and his son aged 7 years and like 6 months.
Yes.
Paulie signed off gave his accountant full power of attorney. His attorney took all of Rocky's money to invest in real estate to try to flip some houses and then put the money back, but the real estate market tanked And then they took a second mortgage out on his house, so he owed $400,000 on taxes on mortgage. I'm like, Rocky had them in worth like nine figures. He's a white heavyweight that's heavyweight champion of the world that's meeting the president. Like, he had them in worth at least. Tyson was worth like $300 million. So you think Rocky had him worth like $500 million? What was his account trying to buy a castle?
Yeah.
Like, you trying to buy a, like, I'm watching this, I'm just laughing my ass off. Like, how did this happen? How did, and Paul's like, don't pin this on me. I thought I was doing you a favor. Adrian picked the accountant, and I'm sitting here just like, no, Paulie would have had to die.
Well, to move on to something not so fun, speaking of death, to me, and she's not, because there were TV shows and other serials before, the original, I guess our generation, really, Lois Lane passed away this week. Margot Kidder died at age 69. That's just crazy. Like, that's how you can tell you're getting older, when, because I'm still 20-something years away from that, but 69 is awful young. For those who don't know, the original Superman, well, Superman the movie, the one with Christopher Reeve, that was trying to start, I guess, superhero movies, didn't really work outside of that one. Because we talked about this before.
It was just Superman until Batman came. Like, it wasn't like Superman opened up this whole renaissance of superhero movies.
Yeah, well, they were. Yeah, because there was really no villain, well, physical villain, I should say, other than Lex Luthor, and Otis, and Miss Tessmacher. That's the one where he spun the planet behind, or backwards. Superman 2 is all sorts of goofy, where he doesn't even act like Superman, and they introduce Zod, Ursula, and Non? Yeah, Non. Margot Kidder's in that for a while. That's where she discovers he's Superman. Lois Lane discovers, and then he concerns she forgets. Okay.
Oh, that's some super lips, huh?
Oof. And then Superman 3, which should have been a much more interesting movie. Listen, and I get flack for this. Superman 3 is the only Superman movie where he actually acts like Superman. He's selfless, he's doing all this stuff, he's trying to do good outside of the fake kryptonite, which gives us one of the, you know, really one of the more iconic Superman moments after he beats the hell out of evil Superman, tears the shirt open, and there he is. I mean, it was like, that's still awesome. Anyways, that was supposed to be Mr. Mixoplick instead of a giant computer. But the Kasdans who had it didn't think people would go along with an imp from the fifth dimension as the main villain. So they put Richard Pryor in as a supercomputer genius. Okay. But Richard Pryor's really good in this movie. So, yeah, I'll take any flack anyone wants to give me about Superman 3. It's not a great movie, but it's fine.
So, I'll say this. It's better than Superman 4.
The infamous Superman 4.
Yeah. And you know the funny thing about Margot Kidder is kind of like, she, I always think about her and Carrie Fisher. Like,
mm-hmm. They're both gone.
She's Carrie Fisher. But Carrie Fisher never had her comeback.
Yeah.
Because, like, they both was, you know, not on the same level. They both were stars in a big franchise. They both went through stuff. And Carrie Fisher was able to bounce back and at least get, like, one more, you know, bounce back and get some more limelight shot before she passed away. And Margot Kidder, unfortunately, never did. Like, it's funny how she played Lois Lane, because it's kind of, like, realistic. Because imagine you dating this guy, you basically getting gaslit by Superman. So, yeah, I guess I would be a little crazy. Because, like, okay, I'm dating this one guy, I'm in love with this other guy, they're the same guy, I don't know, you know, if it is, and then I find out and I forget, and I'm going, all this stuff is happening in my life. Yeah, like, I would be a little off.
Yeah.
And she played that, like, you know, like, yeah, I'm trying to deal with this madness the best way I can.
Well, she also had, for the younger audience, in the 80s, you didn't see, like, in the original Superman movie, she's a strong-ass character. I mean,
mm-hmm.
she, the very first scene I think she's in, if I remember right, is there's the office scene where they're Jimmy's bringing Clark in to introduce him, and no one can get the bottle open. So she goes, takes the bottle out of Perry's hands, or out of Clark's hands, without even looking at him, knocks it on the ground, knocks on the desk a few times, hands it back. He still can't open it because, you know, he's doing a perfect Clark Kent. And then she proceeds to open the bottle by herself. You wouldn't have seen that before. But she was always going and doing this. She was always trying to get Perry to go and do this. And they tried to do the same thing with Amy Adams, but it, whatever, we're not getting into that. But so for a generation of people, that was our Lois Lane. I mean, it's sad because she had, I can't remember what, I lost the page, like what her mental problems were. But then she had a breakdown in the 90s, then she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and it was all downhill. So just like you said, she never got the chance at, like, you know, the comeback, that sort of stuff, which, it's sad, but I don't know. There's a lot of people from that Superman movie that are no longer living. A guy who played Perry White, well, obviously Superman's gone. I'm trying to think. I believe Jimmy Olsen, the guy who played Jimmy Olsen, is still alive. He was just in something, which was weird to see him in this role, too. But yeah, Superman 2 faring pretty well, because all the bad guys are still alive for that, I believe. So
yeah.
Anyway, so rest in peace to Margot Kidder. It's just sad. I don't know. It's such an iconic role.
We're getting old, and that's what happens. Yeah. Like, you know, they were like grown then.
Yeah.
And so it's like there's going to be a lot of people. Like, but the next, think about it, it's going to be a time, I don't want to say when, it was like, you know, James Earl Jones, Morgan Freeman, and Gene Hackman are going to be out of here.
Well, and we're gonna Sean be Connery's still alive, too.
Him, too. Well, it's going to be all these.
When we were young,
yeah. You know, like De Niro, Pacino.
Yeah.
Like, even Tom Hanks and Denzel and Liam. Like, it's going to be a whole generation of actors. That's like, you know, 20 years from now, or even 15 years from now, we'll more than likely probably God will still be alive, and a lot of them may not be.
Yeah.
Because it's like a lot of them are like in their 70s and 80s now. So, I mean, how many people live a long time, but how many actors like live into like their 90s?
Well, as long as we have Jay Courtney, we'll be just fine. So, it's been a while. Bring back all the old favorites. I'm trying to remember what else we had.
Escape Plan 2, you know, was having this Blu-ray sequel, which I was surprised, like, it's Blu-ray, but I'm not complaining because, you know, I get to see on Blu-ray. With Batista taking Arnold's spot, more or less.
And I remember him on Talk Is Jericho talking about the part. And, like, do you want to be in a movie with Stallone? He goes, yeah. He goes, do you want to know what it is? Nope. I just want to work with Stallone.
Batista has a great agent.
Yes.
Like, you think about it, in one, you know, calendar year, he was in Guardians of the Galaxy, a James Bond movie, and a sequel to Blade Runner, like within like a 2-year period. Those are three completely different roles, and it wasn't like he had this long ass resume to be like, you know, you can get these roles. Like, he's, and it's funny, when I remember he was in the Riddick movie, the third one. Like, you know, he's pretty good in that. He didn't do much, but he was fine there. And I think Guardians kind of opened up a lot of eyes for, like, you know, this guy's funny and everything. Like, he has range. And he was the best part of that horrible-ass James Bond movie. I've watched that once, and I have no desire to watch that again. I haven't seen the new Blade Runner yet. I have it on Blu-ray. I heard he was good in that, too. I know he's got some other stuff coming up. Like, he seemed to be taking his job seriously and putting the work in, so kudos to him, even though he kind of started at a late age. But it's like, you know, John Cena starting at late age too, and it ain't stopping him. So kudos to, I like the first Escape Plan movie, you know, because it's like Stallone and Schwarzenegger being like a real, like, I look at it as like a real movie more than Expendables. Expendables always seem like a gimmick. Besides the second one, they always seem like a gimmick anyway. So that was good. Jim Caviezel as a villain, it's just something about him. Like, he looks like, you know, straight out the Bible. So him being a sneering, like, this vicious bastard was just funny because he rarely raised his voice. He's talking that whole low thing, like that whole person. It's funny where I saw that movie before I watched Person of Interest, so it took me a while to like look at him as a hero in Person of Interest. I'm like, this guy, I remember this dick from Escape Plan, and he was using the same voice, like he was always talking low like this, and I'm just going here for the same of the time, and you never gonna get out alive, Sylvester Stallone, because I'm gonna throw away the key, you fuck. Like just whispering and everything like that, like sinister. So, you know, it was a fun movie. I'm looking, you know, 50 Cent was him being a tech guy. It was just hilarious. That's one of those. One, I didn't know what was funnier, him being like this computer tech guy, or Stallone being like a former genius lawyer whose now role is like the test prison to see if you can break out. I'm like, yeah. Stallone just wants to be, he just wants to prove people, he is smart, mm-hmm. but I just love how he wants to prove people, like, you know, I ain't just Rocky and Rambo, I got a brain. And he just overcompensated. Like, he's just, I was this genius lawyer, and now my job is like, you know, the test prison to see if you can break out of it. And it's always like, you know, I knew this guy, he changed shifts every 45 minutes, and I knew this guy had gout because he walked a certain way, this guy had eczema because he was scratching his neck, and I know if I change the temperature of aluminum, it expands so the screws come out. And I'm like, he's MacGyver? Like, he just knows the answer to everything. And I'm like, this is so damn ludicrous. And I'm like, hey, whatever. Like, Vin Diesel will be, like, Vin Diesel's ego has nothing on Sylvester Stallone's ego.
I wonder if part of Stallone's is also a chip on his shoulder, because remember, Rocky was nominated. I think he was actually nominated for Best Actor, right?
He was nominated for like the screenplay or writing. He might have been nominated for actors. Like, he didn't win. He should have. He was good in that. Like, the only reason Rocky works is because Stallone played that basically like this whole lovable loser with a heart of gold who's self-aware that he's a loser. And like, if anybody else is in that movie, that movie does not work at all, like at all. So, and he's good in a lot of stuff. I think it's, you know, when he was born, they had to yank him out like through forceps and stuff, so that caused like nerve damage to his mouth. That's why he talks the way he talks. People think he's dumb because of his voice, and he's always had to like compensate for that. Like, you know, I'm not a dummy, I just sound this way, and it had nothing to do with me. So, and then especially, you know, you look at like Rambo and Rocky movies, like he's in the 80s with like a 10-pack looking like a comic.
Yeah, but it's also going back to that, like even the First Blood movie. No, I'm sorry. What was it? Was it called First Blood? I mean, he could act, and I've always wondered this about him. Is it like going back to the chip on his shoulder? Like, no, like, yeah, some of the stuff, whatever. But I can act, and these motherfuckers keep putting me as like this dumb guy. You know?
Yeah, I probably because it's it. I'm sure it was, because imagine, you know, you get nominated for stuff after sticking to your principles.
Yeah.
And then people still look at you as a meathead. And then, like, you start to do, like, other stuff beyond that, it doesn't work. So it's like, okay, I'm just going to do Rambo and Rocky. And then I try to do Copland, which he's good in that, too. Mm-hmm. And people don't give him credit for that. Like, he's a good actor that just happens to do action movies. And he's always been that. But people don't give him credit for that because all they see is the action stuff. Like, Schwarzenegger's not as good as him, but Schwarzenegger's had the same thing where it's like he's better than people give him credit for. Schwarzenegger never cared about that because he's like, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, I don't give a – I'm making the money. I have this – he has the confidence that Stallone seemed like always fought for, if that makes sense. Because think about it. Schwarzenegger can co-star in Stallone movies. Stallone ain't co-starring in Schwarzenegger movies.
Yeah.
And think about how successful Schwarzenegger was. It's like, I don't got to prove nothing. So that says a lot about both of them, how they can kind of like – Stallone is kind of like the whole Vin Diesel thing where it's like, I can't see myself being a backup to anybody. Like, either I got to be the star, I got to be part of like a big ensemble. I can't get outshone by somebody. And other people is like, I know I'm the man. I don't need to prove nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, that's a good stopping point, actually. Because I know you probably talked more than you wanted to. But, yeah.
One more thing before we go. Because the next movie series I'm going to do, because I have time, it may end up being tomorrow, is The Matrix. Because it's just three movies. It's either knocked out. And I was having some fun with my friends because it's kind of like, Yeah, Morpheus is the villain that's of that franchise. Like, I'm just gonna say that right now to put out the way. Like, if you really, and this one, like, if you really watch the movies and pay attention, he's Batman. I'm gonna take these child soldiers and manipulate them and doctor them to fight my war and take them out of comfort and lie about it. Like, the agents didn't do nothing. They're doing their jobs. Like, humans started that war first. They lost. They're trying to do the best they can to make stuff happy as hell for these people. And here go Morpheus trying to pull them out, telling people, oh, you're the chosen one. You're going to save the day. Imagine you eating steak one day, and now you're eating watered-down cereal wearing dirty socks. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, so it's funny. And I made a joke, like, the only reason people went along with it is because, one, Lawrence Fishburne was cool in that movie. and two, all the agents were white. And it wasn't an accident. They were all white men. Because I'm like, if Agent Smith looks like Angela Bassett, I bet you that movie looks a lot different. I made that joke. And reading about and it's kind of like, it's not an accident when you see all the agents look one way and all the free humans, like, they're diverse. Because it's like, that was in the 90s when it was like, we still talking about diversity. And that whole damn cast is like, it's Keanu Reeves and a bunch of black people. Especially like in the second and third one, like, it's a real mix of like everything and everybody getting along, and the bad guys, all like almost all the bad guys are white, even the non-agent. Like, that's not an accident, and it's like, that's using that to kind of like prove some point to how, like, yeah, the humans are the dicks.
You know what? God, I don't want to watch those movies again. Nah, I'm not. I was gonna say I need to go back and watch those.
Yeah,
because I honestly never caught on to that.
Yeah, like, it stuck out when I, like, the first time I watched it didn't stick out, but when I watched it again, I'm like, wait a second, how come all the villains are white guys?
Now, like, I know in the second one that the survivors, that was done, see, here's the thing, the Wachowski brothers at the time, they put a lot of thought into those movies. Like, they did a lot of, like, the philosophical, anthropology, all that sort of stuff, to get some, like, weight behind the ideas of the movie. And that's why most of the people that are left are African-American, because you're supposed to, I think the, wherever it was, I can't remember what it was called, that's what I'm struggling with. Like, what they found was that, you know, they would have, I'm struggling with this thought, but basically, is Africa. That's where they're at. It's not a city. It's not. It's going back to the beginning, you know, like the beginning of mankind, if you want to, you know, that sort of thing. And that by the time that the world would have been taken over, that the world would be predominantly what we considered minorities at the time. So they put. They did a lot of research, thought, and then forgot they had to make it. They had to actually make a good movie, but.
Yeah, you know. No, the first one, it still holds up, because, like, it basically changed action movies forever.
Yes.
Like, it did that, and it still, and it hold, it, you can watch it, especially if you got a good sound movie system, and that's the movie you used to use to show off your movie system. The second one, like, the action set pieces are awesome. It's all the talk. It's kind of like, it made a mistake of, we got to explain everything.
Yeah.
And, like, explain it, like, we got to demystify stuff. And then the third one is just like, it's like, it's a whole bunch of fighting that doesn't, the weight doesn't seem to matter. And part of it's kind of like, you know, the biggest issue is, once Neo's so powerful, what's the point? Like, you need to keep amping up the challenge, like, make it seem like, because, you know, the first one's like, you know, you're going to learn to be the one. Now he's the one, he can fly, he can stop bullets, like, nobody can touch him. So, and they make Morpheus look like a, I made the joke, like, Morpheus will be this most dangerous man alive, and this Billy badass. He lose almost every fight he's in.
Yes.
And Neo and Trinity's doing all the damn heavy lifting in all the movies. And his whole thing is like, you just gotta believe, and yada, yada, yada. And everybody else look dumb because they don't believe him. Like, imagine, I gotta defend this last against these robots, and we gonna listen to this madman, because Space Jesus is going to save the day. What? I'm only looking like, and everybody that knows Morpheus thinks he's crazy too, but people just going along with Morpheus, because I see Neo do some shit. What that got to do with Morpheus? Like, Morpheus is a nut, and everybody's just going with it because he finally found Neo, and Neo's doing all this. Like, yeah, I'm going to definitely watch those three and see how they hold up and see how they look. And because watching Rocky, I learned a lot of stuff I forgot about. Like, I forgot all about the money stuff. And I forgot all about how he treated Adrian and everything like that. And, like, Adrian gets a bad rap because I know we can wrap it up here. When I first remember the Rocky movie, I used to think she's this wet blanket, always running out Rocky, like, you can't win, and why are you doing this? And then rewatching, it's like, Rocky and Apollo doing a lot of stupid stuff for stupid reasons. And all she's trying to do is look out for him. Like, Rocky had brain, you know, he couldn't see out of her eyes, unless he retired. And she's like, you can't fight. And Mickey's saying the same thing. You know, if you fight, Apollo's going to kill you. So Apollo's pushing the issue, like, because they had money issues, now it's like, okay, I got to fight. And Adrian's like, you might die. And the only way that she go along with it, because she goes in a damn near coma after delivering a baby, is like, okay, well, he's got to do it, so go ahead and do it. Rocky 3, the same thing. Rocky 4, the same thing. Like, Rocky 5, no, you can't fight, Rocky, you got brain damage. So, and he like, well, I got to do it for the house. It's like, you can't pay for the house if you're dead. But somehow they frame a way where Adrian is the villain. And it's funny how that happens. Like, I think about all the, it's wet blanket, you know, wet blanket women syndrome, because Breaking Bad always comes up, The Sopranos always come up, and it's like, we get mad at these women for holding back our heroes, even though our heroes are horrible people.
Well, at least, I was just trying to think of a superhero that had... Man, never mind. Nothing comes to mind. So,
exactly.
so much for that one. I was going to say Wonder Woman, but she is the hero. So she can't be a wet blanket. Like, she can't, yeah,
I'm
can't
trying,
wet
like,
blanket
I'm
herself.
Trying to think of, like, the only woman, like, the main woman that comes out that, like, supports the hero, quote-unquote, is, like, Power. And he's a drug dealer. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to make sure you're the best drug dealer in New York. It's like, that ain't the type of support that's necessarily healthy, but it's like... I mean, that works. But that says a lot. Like, most of the time, you think, like, Breaking Bad, Sopranos, a lot of people on The Wire. Like, Michelle's, you know, Peggy Bundy, all of them. Like, just women holding back their men from being men. And they just got to throw these shrews off and be great. It's like, it's just a lot of angry men writing movies and TV shows. And we just went along with it.
Well, Married with Children, though, at least in that case... Al was holding her back too, like that. That's watching that show, which I still do. Although, boy, I can see why that show got taken off, because that last year of episodes, oh boy, that's rough stuff.
Yeah,
but
you know what's funny?
It was just a family that held each other back at every turn. it's fantastic still.
You know what's funny about that show? The first season looks a lot different from the later seasons.
Yes, they took more slapstick.
Yeah, like, the first scene is like, okay, they're, like, lower middle class, but, like, Peggy loves Al, Al loves Peggy. They make jokes, but, like, you can see the love, and it's like, okay, it's a family, just, it looks like a regular, normal family. So, it was shocking watching that to see, like, what it became, like, you know, like, Al didn't hate Peggy, like, you know, Peggy got on Al's nerves, Al's got on Peggy's nerves, but at the end of the day, like, they loved each other. They was, like, working things out. It seemed like a regular old sitcom. And I guess they was like, well, we got to – everybody do this. We got to do something different. So now it's like, we're going to make Al this loser that drinking sour milk and never have anything right. And Peggy have cigarettes and a salad and all this. And, like, we going to make Kelly even more dumb and Bud even more – like, they just ramped everything up. Mm-hmm. And it's funny thinking about that, because I hadn't seen the first season in a long time. And then it, like – popped up on TBS for a while. I was watching, I'm like, I don't remember Married Children being like this.
Still one of my favorite shows, and obviously a show they can't do now. So you watch some of it going, oh my God.
You know what? You
even
say
for
that.
Me, I was like, oof.
Guess what? You know you say that? You know why you say that? Because you never watched The Half Men.
No.
If you watch those CBS shows like that one and Two Broke Girls, yeah, Married with Children would fit right in. Because I watched Two and a Half Men. I don't know why I started watching that, but I was used to watch the reruns. It used to come on before. Some show I watched. I'm like, this show comes on network TV? They talking about, like, this is a raunchy ass show. And this is like, you know, CBS is like, oh, it's the old people show. You know, everybody 45 and above watch these shows. That's why these shows are high ranked, because they don't turn the channel. Like, okay, it's, you know, highbrow like that. I'm like, this is some scuzzy ass stuff. And that was like that. Two Broke Girls, like all those Chuck Lorre shows were all like, you know, mean spirited, scuzzy, dirty shows on white bread CBS. And I'm like, yeah, Married with Children would fit in. If it would be on any network, it would fit on this network. So how about that?
Well, with all the other revivals starting, I wouldn't mind one last season for Married with Children, because it never got the proper send-off. But that's kind of the point of the show, too. It's like, yeah, nothing ever went well for him. So this kind of fitting. But
yeah, and I'll just say this. Katie Sagal aged a lot better than Ed O'Neill did.
Ed O'Neill's still a cool dude, though. So
I mean, yeah, like a black... Al Bundy with a black belt. Because it's funny to think about that. Like, in real life, he's like a black belt in jiu-jitsu. I still laugh when they had a picture of him with the gi on, his hand down his pants like he's Al Bundy. And that's just so funny, but yeah.
On that note, we got to get out of here. So, Stunk Granny on social media, Stunk Granny on your podcast platforms. We watch stuff as well. Yep, we'll be back next week. We'll both have seen Deadpool by then, I would hope. And we'll talk about that. So, I'm out. Let Shahid take us out of here.
For Jamie Mays, I'm Shahid Dulhadi, and hopefully one day we can figure out this whole Ramadan thing. We are out.